glad to be here. This is one of the scriptures where Paul wrote Timothy. He said, be ready, always ready, to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. So we're starting a little bit late, but I'm glad to be here this morning. I feel good in the Lord. And I want to say we've been having some wonderful services, haven't we? I mean, great moves of the Spirit, good teaching, good evangelizing, and good fellowship. What more could you ask? I love this way, don't y'all? I'm so thankful. I'm thankful God added me to the body. And I've often looked back and, oh, by the way, Brother Smith is in Dallas. So the Dallas church down there, Brother Kennedy, they're getting the blessings of having Brother and Sister Smith down there. And so they're enjoying the fellowship with the saints, but he's also down there to see his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. So we miss them, don't we? So I've often thought, I always thought, Lord, you know, I know you said that not many mighty or not many wise or not many rich or not many strong were going to be in the body. And I was never any of those, you know. And I've often wondered, you know, and we've all asked that question before. Lord, why would you? There's many people out there that you could deal with them in a strong way and cause them to come into the body and to be a blessing, whether it's financially. We've been praying. We haven't really been praying, but we would like to see some millionaires come in. There's so much to do in the Dominican Republic, but the Lord, there are some very wealthy people in the body. It takes a strong commitment to the Lord to not let that rise up above you. That's why the Lord said, not many wealthy, not many rich. But there are those in the body that God has abundantly blessed, and they've been faithful with their finances, and they're prospering in the Lord also. But when I came in, I wasn't any of those things. You know, I wasn't wealthy. I wasn't wise. You know, when I first got saved, I always thought, well, I'd like to be a preacher, you know. And I saw that everybody was preaching and teaching out of the New Testament. And I thought, what is the deal? Why don't they go to the book of Obadiah or something? So I started reading in the Old Testament, you know. And I thought, my word. You know, just start reading through the book of Nahum or something, you know. And I thought, okay, I can see why people don't talk about the Old Testament. And I just closed it up. We had one brother in the church in Texas when we were down there. He got saved and he came in and he felt the need to study the Bible. So he I think he read the first book, Genesis, and gave a little bit of a foundation. And he's like the rest of us. Did you ever get a novel or something, or fast forward on a movie to get to the very end and skip all the other stuff? You know, there's some books that you can't, and some movies that you can't skip or fast forward to because they're building characters and relationships. So this brother said, well, I've got Genesis down. Exodus is not too bad, but Leviticus is real boring. I'm just going to skip all the way to the back and read the back of the book and see how this thing comes out. So, oh yeah, he could skip Numbers, First and Second Chronicles, a lot of those things, you know, but those books are important. You know, I've actually learned some things by reading some of those books of genealogies. It's been very helpful to me. So he skipped all the way to the book of the Revelations, and when he got to the place where it said, he saw a woman clothed in the sun, standing on the moon, with a crown of 12 stars in her hair, and there was a great red dragon. And he closed it up and he said, "That's it. I'm done with this." He said, this can't be understood. Well, you know, so I wasn't one of those that I could have read the book of Revelation before I came to the body. And don't you appreciate the way Brother Smith went through the book of Revelations? And now he's going through the book of Hebrews. I appreciate the way he's helping us to see God's plan for the church throughout the dispensations in the book of Hebrews. I think it's wonderful. I'm waiting for him to get back and get on it again. But I wasn't one of the wise. I couldn't understand the Bible. In fact, when I first came to the body, we had just moved. You know, it takes a while once you come into the body. I appreciate those who've been born in the body. There's those here, and there's the 40s and the 50s and the 60s that were born in the body, and they were raised in the body, and they've never been outside the body. And I love people like that. What an example they are to all of us on faithfulness and sticking to it. I wasn't blessed to have that heritage. I came in when I was 29, and then it took several years for God to get me to a place where I could settle down and learn of Him. That's the one thing that Paul wrote. He said, "After ye have suffered a while, the Lord make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Well, I had a hard time just becoming settled for about the first 3 years when we were in Texas, because there was so much that was lacking in my life. I can have great empathy for new people as they're coming in, to watch them as they wonder, "Where am I?" You know, one time I was at Brothers, because when I came in, everything that I believed, not everything, but most things, about the only thing that was left, you know, I'd go to a general meeting and things, I would hear it and I could see that being taken out of my life and trying to be replaced with the truth, with the right principle. But I had so much coming out of my life at one time. I remember I used to have to get up and testify, and I would say, "I'm so glad God saved me." And that's about all I knew to say. All I had was just my natural testimony. It was like that for 3 or 4 years. And I remember I would go to Brother Smith's house, and I appreciate Brother Smith so much, the effort that he puts into us individually and into a church to settle us down and then to strengthen us. But for the first 3 years, I was really working on being settled. And I know the people in the Midland Church had to think, praying, "Oh, I hope the Durhams make it." You know, well, we've all prayed for each other like that. We could see each other going through a hard, difficult time. We would pray, "Oh, I hope Brother so-and-so makes it, or Sister so-and-so makes it, or what can I do to encourage him?" And I've got no doubt in my mind for the first 3 years, they were on pins and needles wondering, "Oh, I hope they make it." We really went through a crash course on God settling us, getting us to a place where not every wind that would come along would blow us right out of the body. Yeah, that's, you can look around today and people who come in, you can see that they would like to be settled. But it takes getting weight in your life so that the wind won't blow you out. And that weight is the Word of God going down into your heart, being turned into your character and your nature. Ultimately, we're to have the full character and the full nature of Jesus Christ, our Lord. But until you start allowing that to transform your life, and that takes years, you're going to be a person without weight. And you're, not only are you going to be blown about by every wind of doctrine, but you'll be blown about by every circumstance and trial and tribulation that comes your way. That's how I was the first 3 years. Every time something would come up, I know the people, thank God, I love the people that was in the church at that time, the way they encouraged and helped and prayed. And until my wife and I, until we could get some weight in our life. But I remember we would go to Brother Smith's house, And we'd be there 3 or 4 or 5 hours. And I was working, and I'd have to get up the next morning and go to work. We'd stay there sometimes till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. And he'd be talking about the precious Word of God. And he would put it down on such a level that it was getting down inside. You know, when you deal with people, you have to start out on their level. And I know that everybody had to come way down to my level, and they had to start dealing on just the most basic level in my life. You know, one of them was being faithful. I'd never been faithful up until that time when I came into the body. The longest I'd ever had one job was 3 years, and I bounced around. The longest I'd ever lived in one place was 1 or 2 years. And so when I started hearing about that principle of faithfulness, now to all of us, that seems very simple. You got to be faithful. But you can watch people today struggle with that concept because it's, you know, if when you get that knowledge that I've got to be faithful to the things of God, and there's many things that we have to be faithful on. We have to be faithful with our tithes. And I appreciate Brother McGowan getting up last week or the week before, taking up that wonderful missionary offering and pledges for the Dominican. You got to learn to be faithful in all areas of your finances. You got to give it all to God. But then you also have to be faithful to come to church. There's just all areas of faithfulness. It's a large area. So once you hear that term faithful, well, you have it in your head, but just because you have it in your head doesn't mean it's become a part of your nature and your character. And you're going to struggle with that principle of faithfulness until it becomes, it's taken from your head knowledge and put into your heart and starts to produce fruit. And then it becomes a part of your nature and part of your character. Jesus didn't struggle with faithfulness because that was his nature, that was his character. God doesn't struggle with faithfulness because that's nature, that's his nature, his character. We struggle with those principles of faithfulness because we're running in head knowledge. If it was fully transformed, that principle, into faithfulness, we wouldn't struggle with it. I always give this analogy here, you know. It's just like the principle of faithfulness. When you hear about it, we used to tell our children, don't touch that, that's hot. Those of you with children, you know. I've seen Matthew and Reva do that with their children. I've done it with my great-grandchildren. Don't touch that. That's going to hurt you, you know. Blow on that. Don't eat it. It's going to burn your tongue, you know. Well, they know what hot is because they've had their tongue burnt before. They've touched things for hot. But until they go through experiences, they aren't going to know what hot is. And then even when they know what hot is, it's going to take learning what hot is over a long period of time and through different circumstances. You know, you can tell somebody, don't go out and stand on that black asphalt. You're going to burn your feet. Oh, yeah. Well, they'll go out and they'll stand on a hot asphalt and they're going to have blisters on the bottom of their feet. You know, and you say, don't drink that hot coffee. It could blister you. Yeah. You know, well, and it takes several types of experiences of knowing what hot is until someone says, if you eat that, you're going to burn your tongue. Okay, I'm not going to eat it. Well, that's how the principles of God are. You start to hear it, but it's just knowledge. The difference between knowledge, you know, and understanding is God will take knowledge and he'll put it down in your heart and will start to become part of your character. So you have that head knowledge of what hot is or what faithfulness is, but you have to go through many different experiences to grasp the fullness of what that principle is that God is trying to transform you into. So when we came into the body, you know, and I know there's people here that you've got that principle. There's some people that's going to be here no matter what. They're just going to be here. I think you can finally get to the place where you don't struggle that anymore. I used to struggle that principle with faithfulness because when we came in, I didn't have that principle. and we were going through some hard trials and some hard tests, and I wanted to run. I just wanted to get away from the heat. When the Word of God is applied to your life, and not just applied, but God starts to take His Word, His principle, His characters, and His nature, and He starts to write it in your heart with His own finger, like He did the Ten Commandments, that creates pressure in your life. And if you don't have that principle of faithfulness and steadfastness, you're going to want to run. I wanted to run. It would have been real easy for me to just get up and get away from that pressure, as it would have been many of you. I know we're all under pressure now in different parts, whether it's physical, financial, family, job. There's all kinds of pressures that can come upon us. Some come by the Word of God. You can read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You know, how does that say? Bless and curse not. Okay, someone help me with this scripture here. It's about halfway down in the fifth chapter. It's right after the Beatitudes. Well, let's just go to it real quick. I can't quote it, but I can read it. It says, okay, yeah, there are some pressures that come upon us because of the Word of God. Matthew 5, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. That is coming upon you. That pressure is coming upon you because of the God that's down inside. And they're doing it falsely. They're accusing you. They're reviling you. They're persecuting you falsely for the sake of the Lord. That means His character and His nature is causing you to rise up above those circumstances. And when they do, men will revile you because the nature of Christ is being formed in you and they can see it, and they'll persecute you. There are some persecutions by people. If you go out and you tell a bald-faced lie, you steal something, pressure is going to come upon your life, but it's not done falsely for the sake of the Lord. I'm talking about because the Word of God is starting to produce fruit and change you down inside. People are going to accuse you falsely for my sake, it says. It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. There's a big difference between having trials and tribulations come upon you because of evilness in the world, and it's another thing to have that pressure come upon you because you're doing what the Lord wants. What a difference that makes. And when you respond to that properly, it's going to help reinforce. But this area of faithfulness, I had to go through different tests, different trials. It was all leading to faithfulness, but just like the hot analogy, you know, don't drink this, don't touch that, don't stand on this, until you finally realize what hot is. And I had to go through all those things to start to learn what faithfulness was in my life. But like I said, we used to go to Brother Smith's house, and he was dealing on a very basic level with us, and I needed that. I needed those basic things. We all need those basic things. You know, it's like Brother Clyde Patton. Someone asked him one time years ago. They said, Brother Clyde Patton, you have all these churches that you're over here, and the home church in Houston is huge. What have you done that has made you so successful? He thought about it for a minute, and he said, his reply was, it's not any one big thing that I've done. It's all the small things that I do on a consistent basis that has made this work, successful. And it's helped me to be successful in my ministry. And that's true. It's small little things that the Lord does to build up that one area. The Lord may only work in one area in your life. And whatever area He is, He's going to make sure that you get it. I'm glad He doesn't try to transform me in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, I just, you know, my body may be able to be transformed, but my character and my nature, that takes him molding me and shaping me. You know, he could give me a body that could walk through walls, you know, that could fly around the universe, but my mind, that's where we have our problem. That's why it takes the Lord so long to get his character and nature put down inside of us, because it's a long process. So I would go to Brother Smith's house, and he would tell me all these basic things, and I started to put them into work in my life, and it started to change me. I remember there was this one revelation that he was dealing with me on, and I looked around. The moon was out, and the street lights were on, and it was so late there was no cars going by, and my wife was in the car with the little babies, and Sister Smith was talking to my wife, and I stopped Brother Smith, and I said, "Brother Smith," I got real quiet, because I didn't want anybody to hear, even though everybody was in bed, and he said, "What?" I looked around, and I said, "How many people know this?" And he looked around, too. He has a good sense of humor. He looked around, too, to make sure nobody heard, and he got real close, and I thought he was just going to say, "Brother Durham, it's just me and you. We're the only ones." He got real close and he said, "Everybody." And I looked at him, I said, "Everybody?" He said, "Everybody in our church knows that." I thought, my God, where have I been all these years to not know that? Well, you know, that's how it is when you come into the body of Christ. His ways, that's what it says in Isaiah or Jeremiah, his ways are not our ways. And when we come into the body, our ways have to become his ways. Thank God for his people. Thank God for a ministry that's willing to invest the time to feed us and to cause us to grow. And thank God for a God who's willing to call us into his body and to transform us into the image of his dear son. But it's not easy. You know, so I felt pretty good, because now I found out that there was other people just other than Brother Smith and I that knew this, that there was tens of thousands of people all over the United States and Haiti and these foreign countries that had this revelation, whatever that revelation that God's giving you today or has been giving you. There's tens of thousands of people that God is either working on putting principles in your life, or he has put those principles in their life, and he's reinforcing it, and he's moving on to make you more steadfast, to make you stronger in the Lord. But it's not easy. Changes are never easy. So, you know, I've told you a little bit of my testimony, how the first general meeting I went to, Brother Linegar got up, and he talked on the sixth chapter of the book of Revelations. I thought I had it, but I didn't. I wrote everything in pen, and I had to scratch out everything. I didn't get it. It took many times of going over the same doctrine to get it. And that's why I said it might be good for some of you, or maybe all of you, to write notes in your Bible, but using pencil so that you can erase it. I've got, let's see, if you was to go to Revelations, the sixth chapter in my Bible. My pages are falling out. Everything is coming loose here. If you was to go over to the book, Revelations, the sixth chapter, I can't even understand my notes because there's so many of them. Some I've erased and some I haven't. I look back and I think, well, I don't believe that. But at that time, that's what I was seeing. You know, I was seeing it that way. And we're people that are constantly working on ourselves to prepare our hearts for change. We know that we have to change. If we stay the way that we are now, we know we're lacking things. And if we plant our tent stake so deep that we can't be changed in any area, I think we've done a big disservice to ourselves. There's some areas that we aren't going to have to change on. There's some doctrines. There's many, many, many doctrine that the brotherhood are in 100% agreement. I mean, there's no debate about it. There's no question about it. But there are some areas that we should be careful not to plant our tent stakes so deep, because God is still working. He's still restoring His church. He's still bringing back principles that we need in our life. I remember when we moved from, I was saying it took about 3 years for me to really get to the place where I was getting that principle faithfulness in my life. And we had moved from Texas to the church there in Republic. We were all in Missouri, and we were all struggling, looking for work. And this was right after we moved there, and Brother Smith was going to paint the city of Billings, their fire station and their city hall. And he wanted to know if I wanted to help, and I needed the money, and I said, sure. So we were out there painting, and there was five or six or seven of us. And he started talking to me while I was painting. And it was a doctrine that everybody would know here. Nobody here would have a problem with it, but I'd never heard it before. And the more he talked to me, I became physically uncomfortable. You know, there's a scripture in the book of Psalms that says, hast thou found honey? You know, the things that we hear, the things that our brotherhood put across to us, oh, they're like honey, aren't they? They'll feed you and they'll nourish your soul. But it says, hast thou found honey? That's the good, that's the principles, not just the letter. The Bible says the letter killeth. Just this book here alone will kill it, unless it becomes honey that you can eat, which is allowing the Word of God to go down inside of you and to change you. That's honey. He says, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as that's sufficient for thee, lest thou vomit. I didn't get physically sick, but I became very physically uncomfortable. I felt like, yes, Sister Wallace. Yes, we could look it up real quick. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou vomit. That may even be Proverbs. Someone will look it up for you here real quick. I'm sorry. No. Well, we'll look it up real quick here. You know, the Bible says every liar will have their part in the lake of fire. Now, I sure don't want to be accused of lying on the Word of God. Has anyone found it yet? Oh, Proverbs. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Yeah. That's talking about not just naturally, you know, but that's talking about spiritually, the things of God. And it doesn't even have to be one of the deep things of God. I'm sure what Brother Smith was telling me was common to many people, but to me it was honey. And I was having so much honey put in at one time, I became physically uncomfortable. I feel like my appetite is much greater, you know, but you can even take any one of you here that are seasoned, and someone can force feed you that honey, and you won't be able to retain it. I would like to think I can take a lot of honey. Maybe I can't. I'd like to think I can, but I remember when Brother Smith gave this to me, was giving this to me, I became physically uncomfortable. I felt like I'm going to get sick, but that was a manifestation of what was going on spiritually, because it was so different to me, so new to me. By this time, you know, I was able, I'll get you in just a second. I was able to do a little bit more than just testify. I had started to work a little bit in the Word of God. Very small, incrementally things, just very small, basic things. Because that's all I had, was small, basic things. But it was building a foundation of God's character and nature in my life. And so when I heard this thing, to me, that was big. And I went, oh. I have seen people, honestly, I've seen people get sick. And some people, I've never seen it, but I've heard it that's happened. People get so much of going when they go down front to pray that they've become physically sick, and they've actually had to, you know, like this scripture says right there, they weren't able to contain it. There was just too much for them, just like too much of that natural honey will make you vomit. You won't be able to contain it all. You'll lose that principle. You'll lose that word of God. The same thing happens spiritually. You can lose it spiritually. This was happening to me. I was fulfilling that scripture, and I was going to lose it spiritually. I don't even remember what it was now. It was a small thing, a simple thing, but that was too much honey for me. And what was your question? Sure. Yeah, it. You can. Any change is not easy. That's why I'm saying, in the body, there's many, many things that we don't need to change on. God has established, but there's some things that God's working on, and you can see it when God starts working in that area. It's not established yet. You can see people become uncomfortable with it. And anytime people become uncomfortable with it, that a lot of time is when they'll challenge it vigorously. You know, they can feel that's a lot of honey right now. there's another scripture that goes along with that, and we can put it up on the board. There was an angel came down in a book of Revelations, and he had a little book in his hand. And he gave it to John. He said, eat. You know, when we come to church or when we read our Bible at home, or it can be any time that God is dealing with us to put his character and nature down inside of us, that's part of that little book. And we're commanded to eat it. And the angel said, in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. It'll be sweet. And it sounds good, you know, when you hear about all these principles of how to treat one another right, or when we're in the midst of examining changes to certain doctrines or certain principles. You know, it sounds good because we would all like to feel that we're able to change, you know. Did you ever find that one? Oh, I haven't got to it. It's not up there yet. We'll get it up there. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it, and it shall make thy better belly, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And that's why I'm saying, you know, when you start to get this head knowledge, and I went through this on little white lies, you know, it's one thing to know, don't tell little white lies, but it's another thing, and it sounds good. Nobody wants to lie. Nobody wants to be called a liar. No one wants to be accused. No one has to, you know, shouldn't want to have to go to their boss and say, I lied. Nobody wants to be a liar. You know, you can even go to the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, the 21st. It says, every liar shall have their part in the lake of fire. Oh, I sure don't want to be me, you know. But when I first came into the body, I had a problem with lies, not big ones. I wouldn't tell the real big ones. They were just small little lies that would maybe help keep me out of trouble. I've told you about, you know, I was a new plumber. We have a new plumber here, Nathan, and he'll experience this. Not the lying part, but one of these days, some seasoned journeyman plumber or master plumber who's in a big hurry is going to tell him, quick, Nathan, run out to the truck and get this or get that. And he'll have no idea what it is. That's when he just needs to say, what is that? But I was supposed to be a seasoned, experienced plumber. And I was working with a plumber. And he said, Roy, go out and get a spud wrench. You've all heard this, you know, get the spud wrench. I had no idea what a spud wrench was. I know what it is now. But back then he said, go out and get a spud wrench. And I instantly broke out into a sweat. And I said, I'll be right back, Gene. So I went out to his truck, and I'm thinking, okay, if I was a spud wrench, what would I look like? Come on, what would I should have just said, Gene, what is this? What's it look like? You know, what does it do? Maybe I can figure it out. But I left him, what was I was doing a little white lie. And I went out to his truck, and by now I broke into a sweat because I'm thinking my whole future hangs upon this one thing of finding a spud wrench. You're talking about getting something built up in your mind. And I opened up the door, and I hate to say it, there are some plumbers whose trucks are like this. I opened up his door, and it was piled of about 3 foot high of stuff. I went, oh, God. And I got to tell you, I don't let my plumbers get their trucks in that condition, you know. Everything has a place and every place has a thing. But this guy, Gene, knew nothing about that principle of order. And I looked at it, and I'm going like this, and I thought, oh, by now I'm almost in tears. You know, I thought, I'm going to be fired. So I started moving stuff around. I had no idea what I thought. You know, I kept thinking, okay, if I was a spud wrench, what would I look? I'm going like this, and I'm praying, oh, God, help me, show me what I do. And about this time, he comes out, and he starts looking. He said, I don't know where it is. And I didn't say anything. I just thought, whew, it's a good thing. But see, you can lie, and some lies are brought about by you giving information that's false. You can give false information. That can be a lie. But some lies come about by failure to give information. And that's what I was doing. I should have said, hold up, Gene. I would do that now. And I've done that before. You know, I have guys, I've got my master's license. And when you're my age with a master's license, you're supposed to know everything. Hello? No, you don't. So there are some people come up and they'll tell me about things, and I'll say, I've never heard that. I'm just honest with you. I said, I haven't heard that. And they say, oh, okay. They explain it to me. I said, okay, I understand it now. It's no big deal. But back then, I was withholding information. But the Lord started dealing with me on little white lies. And I had never had a problem telling those little white lies because I thought it put me in with the people I needed to be with. And it didn't seem like I was hurting anybody, you know. I was maybe defending my actions. Oh, by the way, isn't it good to have Sister Bridget? Sister Bridget was with us this morning, isn't it? We got a new, let's clap for Sister Bridget. Sister Chelsea and Brother Phil. She's the cutest little thing. I could say this would be a little white lie, but you know, she can't say dad, but she can say hi, Brother Durham. Now I'm just making fun of, you know, but God started dealing with me on lying. Like I said, I had never told the big ones, but I told many small ones. So God started dealing with me on that, and it came to a head, and I started feeling pressure. You know, when God wants to change you into the image of His Son in one area, thank God He doesn't. We couldn't do it all in 1 year being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. It takes, after 30 years, Sister Inez, I'm still working on it. I'm further along than what I was when I first started, but I'm not there yet. He's still working on me. Just be patient with me. And so God was putting pressure on me on telling these little white lies. And I was working for Springfield Public Schools, and they have a union there. And I know how Brother Smith felt about unions. He was not really in favor of a union. So one day, right after church or right before church, I can't remember, he said, how's things going at work? And I said, good. He said, did you join the union? And in my mind, I'm thinking, just say no, but or just say, yes, you did. But I said no, because I wanted to be accepted. I didn't want a confrontation. And I said no. He said, okay. And we went about, and that was on a Wednesday. All that week, the pressure started building, and it started building. Sunday morning, I came to church. Oh, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. Because God was wanting to, He does want to correct us, but even more than that, He wanted me to get the place where I would have His nature and His character. He's the one who wrote with His own finger on those tables of stone, thou shalt not lie. God wants us to be like him. He doesn't want his children, when they're full grown, to be liars or haters or any of these other things. And he wanted me to become like his son, Jesus Christ. And that's what our ultimate goal, that's what our vision is, to be conformed into the image of his dear son. So I saw Brother Smith go into church, and I went up to him. I said, Brother Smith, and he hadn't even gone into the church yet. And he said, yeah. I said, I want to repent to you. He said, about what? And I started talking. Boy, the tears just came. I was just under so much pressure. He said, it's okay. I said, no, 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 boo-hoo. I had to repent, and I had to repent, and I had to make it right. And I felt so much better. But God did something for me at the end of that training period. I knew that that principle was established in me, not in its fullness. You know, just because we have a principle established in you doesn't mean it's in its fullness. But at least it's there and it's growing fruit. Look at it as a seed. God put that seed of thou shalt not lie. He put that seed down in my heart and it started to grow. It's still not to its fullness yet. But God, that's back there is when God, through that pressure and through his word and circumstances, put that seed down in my heart and it started to bear fruit. So we're going through a transformation. It's not easy to be settled in the body of Christ. All of these things, I'm telling you, were part of what God had to do to help me to become settled. It's just like Brother Smith was going through a really hard time. I remember it. And he went to his father's house in San Antonio. This is when some of us here lived in Texas. And he got all this pre-cut butchered beef, and it was frozen. And on the way back, he was asking the Lord to help him, and he started singing. He started singing that song, what was it? I have decided to follow Jesus. And he says he looks back, and that's when God allowed that seed that had been planted in his heart to start to bear fruit. Isn't that wonderful that God does that for us? So I'm thankful for this process that we're going through. Let's don't get discouraged when God is planting seeds down in our heart. Let's be thankful that God is causing that to happen down inside. I love the body of Christ. I wouldn't want to go anywhere else. I know that I'm not perfect yet, but I'm headed in that direction, Brother Talley. And I'm not going to get off the boat until the Lord keeps his hand on me long enough to make me a perfect overcomer. Is that how all you feel? Amen. Anyway, it's time to go upstairs, and we'll see what God has for us. And by the way, it's good to have Brother and Sister Stephas here. You thought you were going to get away without me calling your name. Not around here, it won't happen. See y'all upstairs. God bless y'all.